Some of you have been asking. We heard from Josh last night, Josh Chadwick. They're moving, or they moved Linda yesterday afternoon to Mount Carey in a special rehab facility. You know, she had a serious stroke and not doing any better. Can't communicate or do anything. So just keep praying for her. And he'll be up there with her, which is, how far is that from Wilmington? It's a little ways. So keep praying for them. They moved Elaine. Did you update them on that? Did he? They moved Elaine back to the hospital in Macon yesterday and started her on dialysis. So keep praying for her. She's pretty sick. And just remember them, you know. When you start griping about the way you feel, remember them and just pray for them, okay? Because in light of some of that stuff, we're doing pretty good, eh? Yes. Anyway, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, for our freedom to be here, for this place. Father, for the food we had for breakfast, Father, we thank you for that. Remind us all of what your desire is for us. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Father's Day. You know, I was trying to calculate it this morning while I was riding to get donuts. You know, if my dad was alive, he would be 105 today. He's been dead a long time, though, almost 20 years. But if your dad's still with you, even if you don't get along, you need to appreciate that, you know. You read all kind of stories. I was reading one where David Simmons, who was a cornerback for Dallas, and his story with his dad was not good. You know, his dad never could do good enough. You know, he was second round draft pick the year that Joe Namath was first round draft pick. And when he called his dad said, "Well, how does it feel to come in second?" What? Finally, before he died, he was able to establish a friendship with his father. But it was never good, and that's unfortunate. I don't know what your situation is, if you had a good one or a bad one, but you have to remember, they're still your father. And God said, if you honor them, doesn't mean you obey them, especially if they're trying to get you to do something wrong, but if you honor them, your life will be better, period. It doesn't qualify. He just says you honor them, and there's a way to honor even ungodly parents. So be careful how you handle that. Let's quickly, y'all didn't use up all my time. We're going to have to start maybe the second service at 9:30 instead of 10, eh? But we're going to be fast, all right? Fathers and children, wow. Fathers, we have a serious responsibility, you know. Two verses, two different places today, and we won't even hardly get started. But in Psalms, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." He starts and he goes down all the way through this psalm talking about why we should be praising God. And then he comes up to verse 17, and look what he says. "He who forgives all your iniquity, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy." And then he says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to those who fear him." Three qualifications in here. Three qualifications. Those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children. What we do as fathers not only affects our children, but our grandchildren and their children. This is a serious responsibility. And don't ever forget this, guys. God will come to dad first about what goes on in the family. Come to you first. You're held accountable first. Mom's still held accountable. Children still held accountable. But he's going to come to Terry first, and he's going to say something like this: "Why in the world did you let that go on in your family as the father?" It's not pretty. I'm telling you guys. It's a serious responsibility, and that's not being a tyrant, that's not being a dictator, but you as a father, figure out what has to be done for your family, because everyone's different, because God's going to start with us, If you don't believe that, where do you start when Adam and Eve sinned? Adam. Did he go to Eve? Oh, yeah. She got blistered too, buddy. Everybody's going to get it. We're all going to be held accountable. But he's going to start with us. Because that's how God orchestrated it. That's just the way it was. To their children and their children. To such keep his covenant. First, they have to fear him. Next, they keep his covenant. That's a little bit different in the New Testament. We're going to hurry and look at that. And to those who live their life out, remember his commandments. That's what that means. First, you start by fearing the Lord, who he is. Then you understand how you enter into that covenant with him. It's different in the New Testament than it was in the Old Testament. If you're a Jew, you came under the covenant. That's not so in the New Testament. You have to commit your life to Christ. And then you live that out. If those things are done, God's blessings will be with our children. And guess whose responsibility is for us to make sure those three things are possible? We can't make them happen. But there are certain things as a father we must do to give them a chance, right? And then then it's left up to them. But that's it. The Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Absolutely. As a father shows compassion, the scripture says, to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. That's where it starts. Fear. Good fathering points to God. You know, God started, he was a father before he gave us a portrayal of a father. So when he says, every good father should be a picture to their children of what God is like. A lot of people say, well, I can't do that because I had a bad father. That's no excuse. You know, I didn't have the best father as far as a mentor on how to be a good husband. My dad was a good dad, but he didn't have it. You know, when you start looking at those things, then you say, okay, I don't have to do it this way. And you make a choice to do it different. There is no excuse. We all make choices, right, guys? We all do, all of us. God designed human fatherhood to be a portrait of himself. That's just the way it is. You say, well, I didn't sign up for that. Well, don't be a father. You know, make that decision before you get into that thing. God had a son before he created Adam. So his picture is this. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. Fathers are to show children what God is like, especially in the early days when they don't have that concept or are old enough. They need to see it out there. One little boy was in a lightning storm at home and thundering and lightning, about like it was Thursday. Y'all remember that one? Even the dogs get excited, right? And, he cries out to his dad. He's up in his room. He said, Dad, I'm scared. I'm scared. And his dad walks up there and he said, Son, you know God. He's going to take care of you. You know, you don't have to worry. He said, I know, but right now I want someone with skin on them. That's exactly what children need, to see God with skin on them. That's exactly what you're supposed to be, boys. I'm going to call you boys. All right? A lot of you are younger than I am. Men. All right, I'll call you men. A clear implication for all the fathers are that we're designed and God set up the system so that we would picture God to the kids. That's what they'll see. And boys, we're going to see if we hurry how that falls apart. We need to realize that we will not always be around, guys, and neither will our children. So what are you doing now to help them get ready? It's very, very important, guys. In verse 17, the children's children. And here's the question that we fathers should ask. How can my children benefit for forever, eternity, from the love of God? How does that happen? What is going to be done by me to try to help that take place? You know, you can't make them believe. You can't believe for them. But there's some things that we can do that God holds us accountable that we should do. The steadfast love of God and the righteousness of God will follow our children, is what it says. What are we doing? What have we done? Some of us are old enough where we might have to say, ooh, boy, I messed that one up. You might have to go back and apologize, and then you might have to say, I'm going to help my grandkids because my children are not doing very well at it, so I'm going to help my grandkids because I didn't help my kids. Maybe that's where you are. Might be what you have to do. I don't know. And here's what. The blessing comes if they fear God, if they keep his covenant, number one is enter the covenant, because you're not automatically in the covenant like the Jews were. We enter it by faith in Jesus. It's a new covenant, because Jesus said that when at the Last Supper. And if they do his commands, if they live for him, that's a big deal. You know, sometimes we forget that. In this non-lordship salvation where we're in today, oh, all you have to do is just believe mental assent and say, oh, yeah, I trust you, and then you go live like hell and everything's okay. That's not what the Bible says. But that's what we're getting down the pike in Christianity, basically in the United States and absolutely around the world. If they fear God, what does that mean exactly? How does that translate? It means that God is so powerful and so holy and so awesome that we would dare get away from him. Not that we're afraid of him, but we understand who he is, and we'd be so afraid of running away from him and what he wants to do in our life. That's what that means. Not that we're scared of him. It just, because of who he is and what he's going to do and what his demands are, we are afraid to let anything come between us and him. That's what that fear means. It's not to be afraid. You know, you shouldn't be afraid of God in the sense that, well, what is he going to do to me? No, he loves us, but that we would stay with him. Today, it's not any different than coming to the Messiah, Jesus, because in the Old Testament, they were in the covenant if they were Jews, all right? They had some things they had to do ceremonial, but for us, and Jesus exactly said that, we come totally different than that, and that's exactly what he says. If they keep God's covenant, if they enter his covenant now, since Jesus came, what does that exactly mean today? For us, this is what it is. That thing has changed. At the Last Supper, Jesus lifted up the cup representing his own blood, and this is what he said. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. What is that? It is when we enter into the covenant with Christ by trusting in what he did on the cross for us, then we are entering into the covenant with him. We're not Jew. I mean, even if you are a Jew, the old covenant doesn't last anymore. You know, you don't get to heaven under the old covenant. You only get to heaven under the blood of Jesus, which is the new covenant. And that's exactly what that is. It's just as binding as the Old Testament one was for the Old Testament Jews. With the new covenant, it provides God's side. The blood of Christ covers our sins, but he also gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to live for him. You know, living a Christian life is not hard. It's easy if you let him do the living for you. But we don't want to do that. Who wants to do it? Moi. I'll do it in my own strength. I know better. No, not exactly. It requires from us that we are united by Christ. You know, let me hurry and get these other things, and I'll talk about that a little bit more. I want to hurry and get to the main thing. Real faith and Redeemer. You know, David mentions for our children to experience God's righteousness as a saving situation. It says what? To those who remember to do his commandments. You have to teach them that. Public school is not going to do it. A lot of Christian schools are not going to do it. There's a lot of things done in the name of Jesus that Jesus is so far removed, it'd take field glasses to find him, isn't it? What it means is that faith in the Redeemer must come out in reality in my life. Everybody can talk a big game, can't we? Hello? But how you living? You know, what are you doing from day to day? That's the thing. Oh, well, you know, I did that years ago. But how you living today? It doesn't matter what you did 10 years ago. The requirement is obedience. That's what it is. 1st and 2nd and 3rd John talks about that in detail for us. His blood is forgiveness that forgives us and justifies. But our obedience is what he keeps asking. Those who love me do what? Keep my commandments. Live for me. That's what it means. Not the Ten Commandments. Living for him. Now, we have to teach them this. And there's a verse of scripture in the Old Testament. We're going to just touch it. We can't spend much time there because y'all use it all up. You remember whenever Joseph's brothers hated him and they said, well, man, we're going to kill this guy. So they're going to get rid of him. You know, they're all away from home. And Reuben comes along, and the only one who said, no, we can't kill him. Go back and read the situation in chapter 42 of Genesis where it starts. And this is what he says. He says, do not, remember now, this is what happens. Right today, they're standing in Egypt. They don't know Joseph is Joseph, but they know all the situations that they're about to be in trouble because Joseph has kind of framed them to set them up, but they don't know it's Joseph. Now they're scared for their life because of what's going to happen. You know, it looks like they've stolen from Pharaoh and now all these things. And so at that point in time, this is what Reuben says. Wait a minute. We're getting justice. Didn't I tell you, do not sin against your child? And when you not hear him, that's what he actually said that. He said, oh, no, don't kill the child. You know, it seemed like he was going to come back later and get him up out of the well. But even when he got back, he was gone. Therefore, behold, as his blood is required. He said, that's why we're getting punished. That's why we're getting punished. Look at that. Do not sin against a child. Dads, here's what happens to us if we're not careful. According to that story, that's exactly, there's three ways in which they were sinning against Joseph that are absolutely what we are doing in the United States. And if we're not careful, we'll be guilty. If we're not guilty already, let us slay him and we shall see what becomes of his dreams. He said, no, you can't do that. Don't kill him. So he had his own reasons, but here's what we see. When you see all the juveniles running around here, you want to ask that question, who in their family decided to let them just be killed? Who let them go? Why did you not pay attention to them? Well, there's a lot of juveniles around us, aren't they? They have no respect for anybody, for us, for policemen, for nobody. When you look at that, you say, who killed these kids? Mom and Dad did. When you boil it all down, again, if you teach them everything right, that's not a guarantee. But are you even giving them that much? Because they're going to learn enough out there in the world. Let's hurry. These are the victims of are their parents. Let's be honest. I mean, come on, let's just be honest. What is it we could have done? Oh, well, let me go ahead and hit these topics because we're out of time already. Look what happens in the Old Testament. It says, the fiercest beasts of prey will not destroy their own young, but sin makes men unnatural so they destroy their offspring without even any thought. How do they do that? Lamentations, Jeremiah talks about that. That's exactly what he says. Those who instruct the youth in the vices of the world are despicable. They are the devil's workmen. Absolutely. Anytime you instruct some child, yours or someone else's, in some kind of evil way that it's okay, you are absolutely a worker of the devil. Your kids are not your kids. It doesn't really matter. We are not to teach them merit. If you say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with God, well, if you want to go to hell, you just go ahead. But don't put your children there by encouraging them in that way. All kind of guys do that, right? Monkey see, monkey do. They're going to see you. And they're going to copy you. And you can't tell them, well, you don't do what I'm doing. You do what I tell you to. That doesn't work. No, they're going to do what they see. We can sin against them in a second way. Cast him into the pit as a wildness and don't hurt him. We'll throw him in there for a while and we'll go back there and get him later, right? Many have this idea. Just leave him alone as children and then maybe work with him when they're 18 or 20. It's too late then. You done lost it. If you haven't done anything up to then, it is a miracle if they come after that. You know, right now, there's some young adults that are turning to Christ. A lot of people not of the United States, that's abnormal. It's making a change somewhat. I think they've seen this other system has been going for 30 years and it doesn't work, so they're turning a little bit. But normally, if you don't get them something early on, they don't get it. It's a miracle if they do. That's exactly right. Do not kill him, but just leave him alone till he's older. Oh, just let him sow his wild oats. Watch out. He'll choke on them. I mean, that's what R.G. Lee used to say, right? The devil will get your attention on the corn, but he'll choke you on the cob. You better watch out. And but that's the way a lot of people operate. Oh, well, you know, y'all familiar with, you know, Carrie Underwood and several other people have been speaking out about this LBTG Z, whatever all that nonsense is. And she said, why don't you just let kids be kids? Why do you want to start doing all that when they're in kindergarten? She's exactly right. And a lot of people are complaining. Well, they're the nutcases. You better start when they're young. How many of us didn't get that when we were young? And how long it took us to get to a good place? Only by God's grace. Only by God's grace. Oh, don't kill him. Just let him alone till he's older, and then we'll go better. Don't kill him. That would be wicked. But leave him in the wilderness till it's a better time. There is never a better time, guys. Never. And if you miss it with your kids, start with your grandkids. Because they're not going to get it from Google. And if they even go to a Christian school, you got to supplement that quite a bit. Why? Leave him alone. Don't teach him about Jesus. Let him learn about all this other nonsense. Boy, they teach him in kindergarten, right? And if your kids go there, you need to say something. You don't need to sit by there and just say, well, they know best. No, they don't. God's going to hold you accountable. Why in the world did you let your children go there where they hurt at every day when they're 5 years old? Hello. It's an indictment against us, guys. That's what it is. And God's going to hold us accountable. You hope they'll come to the rescue? No. Many Christians ignore their children. We'll just let them grow up. We're going to let them decide for themselves. Do you make them go to school? Hello? Oh, well, we're going to let them decide for themselves. So at 6 years old, you're going to let them decide whether they go to school or not? No, you're not. You better start feeding them something about Jesus. You say, well, they made me do it. Yeah. And you better make them do it for their own good. Make them do it in a way that they don't, you don't bring reproach on yourself. But there's a way to do it in a good way, not as a tyrant. Isn't that amazing? That's exactly what we do. He's in the pit now, but we're in hopes when he gets 18, oh, train up a child in the way he should go when he's old. That's not a promise. That's just out there. There's a chance if you teach him something when he's young, he might come back. She might come back. That is not a promise. And you look at the genre that is, and it's not a promise. It's just laying the lines out there. They need to know something out there because they're not going to get it anywhere else. And if you care at all about them, you need to do something now while they can. You know, teach them while they will listen. It's a common notion. The children are to grow up unconverted, and then they'll be saved later on in life. Boy, I'd hate for that to be the case. I'm just betting on the world to get to them, or God in his unconditional sovereignty some way. No, God wants to use her dad. God wants you to use his dad in that process, right? That's our responsibility, guys and moms. They're not to be left in the pit now and be drawn out by and by. That is a devilish, hellish idea. A lot of people buy into it, though. I know some people. It's a complaint. Look what Jeremiah said. Even the sea monsters draw out their breast. They give suck to their young ones. But the daughter of my people, he's writing to the Israelites, has become cruel like the ostriches in the wilderness. You know what the ostriches are, right? No responsibility. They let the sun heat their own eggs. They take no responsibility. And he says, that's what they're like. You better take responsibility if you have any chance for your children even turning out halfway like they should, because they're not going to get it from the world, okay? God in his sovereignty acts. Why should Jesus remain in the pit of nature's corruption? Why? You teach them everything else. You teach them how to make money. You teach them how to do all this stuff. What about teaching them about how to get to heaven when they die? Hello? Just because you're going there because you don't care doesn't mean you shouldn't give your kids a fighting chance by letting them know, because they're not going to get it anywhere else, guys. There's a third way, and this is it, and we're closing. They sold him. Boy, we do that. Oh, we're sending them to the university. Surely they're going to get it there. Yeah, they're going to get total secularism there, even in Christian universities, so-called. Oh, well, they'll get what they need. You better supplement it always. Constantly asking, what's going on? What are you learning over there? You need to know that before you send the kid there to start with. What's the basis of that group? You know, well, that's the best thing. Oh, no, surely they're going to do the right thing. So we just sell our children. Let somebody else teach them. We're not going to teach them. Let them go. They'll find out their way. Really? And I'm not saying everybody homeschools everybody. I'm not saying that. But wherever you send them, you better know what's going on, and you better ask them what's going on, especially if you're financing it. You say, well, that's none of your business. You say, well, then you buy your own car. You buy your own insurance. You pay for all the stuff yourself. But while I'm investing in it, I want to know. Hello? I use this story all the time, and Meredith's sitting here. She probably does. Well, she does remember. She remembers everything. Because her brain's not full yet, right? We're coming back from daycare. I don't know. What is one of those things? It wasn't first grade yet. Kindergarten? No, what's, I don't know what it is. What, 4 years old? Yeah, something like that. And we were riding back, and I said, who'd you play with today? And she said, why you want to know? 5-year-old? I stopped the car, pulled off side of the road. She was sitting in the back seat. I turned around in a loving way, said, I'm your dad. I'm going to know what's going on in your life. Do you realize how many people have no idea what their kids are doing, where they're going, what they're watching on their phones? No idea. God's going to get you for that, guys. He is. He's going to come to you first and say, why didn't you know this? It's our responsibility. I don't care how old they are. Sometimes you need to say, what's going on in your life there, buddy? What's going on in your life, daughter? Because it's our responsibility. And if you love them. But if not, you just sell them out to the Ishmaelites and just let the world teach them. Geography is not going to get them to heaven. A business degree is not going to get them to heaven. No. No, it's not, guys, girls. They offered 20 pieces of silver, and boy, they took it. Sold them out. We do that. We're half inclined to do the same thing. Well, we'll let the schools take care of it for us because that's what they're for. Boy, the school system has gone down the tubes in the last 20 years if you don't know it. And I'm not talking about just the high school system. I'm talking about the higher education. It's in the pits. And if you don't know that, you need to know where your kids are going or your grandkids are going and try to steer them away to somewhere else that might be less. And of course, all of them are pagan now, unfortunately. I hate to say that. You only find just a few that really are not affected by the government, and the government tells them what to do. And right now, the government has no idea, has no desire to promote anything Christian. If you don't see that yet, you're really blind. If everything, you can be anything but Christian, and they won't harass you. But if you're Christian, what? Oh, you're targeted. Oh, you're just, what do they call that? What is that when you're paranoid? I'm not paranoid. I can show you the facts. I'll show you the facts. And if you don't know that about where your kids are or where they're going, they're done. You understand, guys? Mama? All of us? All right. We're going to have to quit. You only got a fraction of it. I'll put the notes up there. It is amazing how many kids we lose just because simply we don't understand, hey, that's really my responsibility. It's not mom's responsibility, guys. She has responsibilities, but this overarching thing is your deal. You have to make sure it happens. You can't just leave it up to mom or your teacher or anybody else. You have to make sure in the most loving way that's possible that they understand what's going on for eternity's sake. Because guess what, guys? We're not going to live forever, and they're not either. What are we doing now so that they will be in eternity for Jesus? That's the thing. We got a big job, guys. As granddads, I'm not a granddad yet, but if you did a granddad, you got a big job because a bunch of you got a sorry son-in-laws. Hello? You don't turn red and I won't know, but I do know. I see it all the time. They're bums. Let me go. Jesus loved us. I know that. But he's going to hold us responsible, guys. Let's get with it. Eternity's coming. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. that you are merciful. And you intervene in our lives, in our children's lives, so many times when we, the adults, drop the ball. Father, I just thank you. I thank you what you do for eternity's sake, for these kids, when so many adults drop it. Father, we thank you that you're just and we can trust you. Help us take our responsibility seriously. In Jesus' name, amen.